Welcome to our Streams International Ministry Podcast with Prophet Jared Nusulu, PhD, and Prophetess Gabriella Nusulu. Experience prophetic revelation teachings, personal prophecies, healing, deliverance, breakthrough. You are now listening to a teaching recorded at one of our live church services.
Mm-hmm. So today I want to speak about a very important topic called the blood covenant. Someone said the blood covenant.
The blood covenant.
I will see how far we can go and how deep we need to go. But suffice for me to say at the very beginning that in the scripture, there are 15 great covenants. In the scripture, there are how many? 15 great covenants. I'm going to give you the 15 and then I'm going to speak about the last one for a short time. So the first covenant involves the solar. It's called the solaric covenant. Solar, the sun. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 14 to 18, God made lights to rule, to control the day. So it was a solaric covenant. And that's why your Bible says, as long as there's the sun, the day, as long as there's the night, as long as these things remain, seed time and harvest shall always be there. It's a covenant. That's why scientists can use the movements of the sun, or I'm using that language loosely, but they can use the solar system to measure precisely where things shall be, because it was a covenant, an agreement that God made with the solar system. Are we together so far? Number two. Which one is number two? You are now thinking. The Edenic covenant. This was the covenant that God made with Adam and Eve before they fell. And it was conditioned on obedience. It was made in the Garden of Eden. I know that we simplify life by saying the New Testament and the what? Old Testament. But really, there are 15. It's not just new and old. Number three, Adamic covenant. In Genesis chapter 3, the Edenic one is Genesis chapter 1, 26 to chapter 3, verse 24. The Adamic is Genesis chapter 3, verse 14 to 19. This agreement was made with Adam and Eve after they fell and before the expulsion from the garden. Number four, the Cainic. Cain. It's called the Cainic covenant. This was a pledge to Cain of vengeance on anyone who found him and killed him. You remember? It was a covenant. Number five, Noahic. Noahic. Just add IC at the end of the name Noah. This contract was made with Noah and the beasts in the field after the flood and ushered in the dispensation of human government. Are we following?
Oh, yes.
Or I'm confusing you?
We are following.
Now, the LGBTFZYZX plus plus. They use the symbol of that covenant as their flag. The what? The rainbow.
Yes.
Because in that covenant, God said, I will not destroy the earth with water again. Not that I will never destroy, but I will not use water again. So I'll use something else. Now they are stuck in that covenant. They don't know that we've moved on.
Oh, yes. Amen.
Number six, Abrahamic. This was made with Abraham after the confusion of tongues, when God saw that it was impossible to deal with the race as a whole. Remember Genesis 11? God confuses their language. In the immediate Genesis chapter 12, God calls who? Abraham. So he made an Abrahamic covenant. So that's number what? Six. Number seven, Hagaric. Hagar. This was a covenant made with Hagar concerning her seed through Ishmael, Abraham's son. Are you learning something?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. When the angel found him, God spoke through the angel, made a covenant with Hagar that Ishmael was going to be great as well. And the Bible says Ishmael ended up having 12 princesses like Jacob. And all these fights between the Jews and the Arabs.
Oh, yes.
It's fights between cousins.
Yes, amen.
Are you hearing me? How many have I given you?
Seven.
Number eight, Sarahic. Sarah, with an H at the end, I see. This covenant was made with Sarah, promised certain blessings to her and her offspring Isaac for many generations. God said, Sarah, I'm promising you this time next year, I'll visit you and you shall have a child. Number nine, the healing covenant. This is found in Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. Oh, I didn't give you the verses for the Sarah. Genesis 17, 15 to 19. For Hagar, Genesis 16, verse 7 to 14. For Abraham, I gave you, that's Genesis 12, 1 to 3. The healing is Exodus 15, 26. For I am the Lord, that word healeth thee. But that covenant was also based on obedience. Number 10, the Mosaic covenant, which is also widely known as the Old Testament or the Old Covenant. That's number 10, the Mosaic covenant. Exodus chapter 20 from verse number 1 to Exodus chapter 24, verse number 8. You can also find it in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 6 to 18. Covenant number 11, the Levitic. Levitic covenant, Numbers chapter 25, 10 to 14. This was given through Moses to Phinehas, the son of Levi, who was zealous for the Lord and executed judgment upon rebels. Remember the story? Number 12, the Palestinian covenant. This covenant was made with Israel through Moses and was conditioned upon the obedience of the nation that God was going to give them the whole of Palestine. Leviticus chapter 26 and also Deuteronomy chapter 11, 8 to 32. That's the what? Palestinian. So the issue of the Palestinians, don't get caught up in the nonsensical narratives that we're hearing. That whole land from Egypt, the border of Egypt, to I think the border of Iraq, River Euphrates. Can I say that again?
Oh, yes.
From the river Egypt, which is the border of Egypt, all the way to Iraq, River Euphrates, all that land was given to the Jews. Jordan, Syria, all those countries are in Israel. So don't join this stupidity going around. From the river to the sea. It's from the river to the river. So when you hear them say from the river to the sea, what should you say? From the river to the river. Which river? Read the river. Nile in Egypt. All the way to Euphrates.
Wow.
All those countries, they're in Israel.
Oh, yes.
I don't know whether even you're even...
We are following, Papa.
We are one of those who go to chant from the river to the sea.
Oh, no.
I will deliver you today, don't worry.
Amen.
Number 13, the salt covenant. The salt covenant. Leviticus chapter 2, verse 13. And Numbers 18, verse 19. A covenant made with Israel concerning the sacrifices they were to offer forever. And God told them, never. Now, we all know about the sacrifices, but we don't know that each sacrifice had to be sorted with salt. God told them, never bring a sacrifice on my altar that you haven't put salt on it.
Wow.
So salt, as you know, we use it a lot in our kitchens. We don't know the spiritual meaning of salt. We have no clue, no kalala, nothing. We just take a pinch of salt. In the Bible, in the prophetic, in the spirit, salt is a big deal. And every oblation of thy meat offering shall thou season with what? Neither shall thou offer the salt of the covenant, oh my God, of thy God to be lacking from the meat offering. With all thine offerings thou shalt offer. With all your offerings, you shall offer what? There's a covenant there. What does it say? Suffer the covenant of what? I mean the salt of the what?
The covenant of thy God.
Don't allow it to miss. Why? Because salt is a preservative. It preserves. I know here we've got fridges and freezers. So you have no idea what I'm talking about. But in Africa, when you kill a goat or a cow, in Fiji too, if you want to preserve your meat, you apply a lot of salt and you dry it. There's no freezer, no fridge. Or you kill a lot of mice, put a lot of salt in them, you dry them. It means that year you are set for the year.
Oh, yes.
You didn't try it? Did you see it being sold on the side of the road? No? You should have gone out with him. I would have told you where it is. But my son, that 2010, I took Daro to Malawi. He tested it. And there are some photos on the internet with me. Okay, I will not tell where they are. But salt is a covenant. Number 14, the Davidic. David. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, 1 to 17. There's a covenant, 2 Samuel chapter 7, 1 to 17, there's a covenant there. This agreement was made with David and his house through Nathan the prophet and was conditioned upon obedience as all other covenants. It was to be an everlasting covenant. I don't know if they're hearing me.
Oh, yes.
So how many have I given you?
14.
14. Number 15. Someone say number 15.
Number 15.
The new covenant. This is the one made by Christ. Matthew chapter 26, verse 28. But also 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18. Also Hebrews chapter 8, verse number 6. It is still in force. And includes all the terms and conditions and commandments prescribed and the benefits revealed in the 27 books of the New Testament. So, there has been 15 covenants that God has ever made since the creation of the world. But most of the times we talk about the Old Testament and the New Testament, which is the same thing, the old covenant and the what? New covenant. We simplify life by looking at all these covenants in the Old Testament as one being old covenant, and then the one made by Christ as being the new covenant. But really there are 15 different covenants, and each one of them has got different conditions. But the key condition in each one of them was obedience. What was the key condition? Obedience. So it meant that if the children of Israel were disobedient to the conditions of the covenant, God would punish them, or God would allow their enemies to punish them. But then, when it comes to the new covenant in the blood of Christ, the conditions there, they are a bit more different than the conditions of all the other covenants that God ever made with humans. Is that making sense?
Oh, yes.
That's why we need to understand the covenant in the blood of Christ. So let's quickly look at that scripture and then we'll pick it up from there. Matthew chapter 26, verse 28.
Amen.
Are you here?
We are here, Papa.
One, two, three, go.
For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins.
So this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Jesus says, for this is my blood of the New Covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. So I'll speak about covenants for a very short time and then we'll move from there. Is that okay?
Oh, yes.
Okay. So, from time immemorial, God has always used covenants in his dealings with his people. That's why I've given you all these covenants. You see that with Noah, there was a covenant. With Abraham, there was a covenant. With David, there was a covenant. With Adam, there was a covenant. All these people, God has dealt with them using covenants because that's how God operates. He operates on the basis of covenants. Always covenants. And it is believed that covenants are not only used in the Bible, there are also tribes out there which still use covenants today, including so many tribes in Africa. Why? Because covenants have always been part of human life. As you can see that the covenants have existed even from the days of Adam. Therefore, it's not a Jewish thing. It's easy for us to think, oh, it's only the Jews. No, it's not a Jewish thing. As I'm talking about Africa, there are so many tribes which are still using covenants today. And in fact, the most powerful types of covenants involved blood. The most powerful covenants involved what? Blood. There's a reason why covenants involve blood, because when you go to Leviticus chapter what? Leviticus, the book of Leviticus, chapter 17, verse number 11. Leviticus 17:11.
Amen.
When you understand some of these things, the Bible makes sense. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh what? Atonement for them. So we can see from that verse that the life of a living thing is in its blood. So when God required the children of Israel to offer animals, it wasn't the animal, it was about the life of the animal which was in its what? In its blood. Why? Because blood is the life. So when God demanded that if you commit a sin, you need to bring a sacrifice, it wasn't about the animal. It was about the life of the animal standing in your place. Because as a sinner, you ought to die. But as a sinner, if you don't want to die, then you're saying, God, I'm giving you the life of this goat instead of my life. The poor goat. Poor thing. So the goat became a replacement of your life. Because you as a sinner, you are the one who is supposed to die. But God said, okay, let's do substitutions. Instead of you guys killing yourselves and presenting yourself to me, because the moment you kill yourself as a sinner, you present yourself to me, you go to hell, and there'll be no one to pull out of hell. So let's use an animal as a substitute on your behalf. So they were killing an animal as a substitute for their lives. This continued for so many generations until Jesus came. And he said, listen, I don't want you to continue killing animals. I'm going to offer my own blood. Are you hearing me? Which is my life. Because if the life of a living thing is in its blood, when Jesus offered his blood, it means he offered his life. On behalf of all of us here, on behalf of all of you watching me right now. So the life of Jesus became a substitute for our lives. So that us, instead of dying because of our sins, we should live. Because Jesus paid the price for our sins. So his life became a substitute for our lives. But you see, the key of the covenant is understanding that your blood, which is your life, can be used on behalf of another person, as a substitute on behalf of another person. But at the same time, your life, which is your blood, can be used to mingle with another person to become one with that person.
I don't know if they're hearing me. Oh, yes. Go deeper, Papa.
So, how were they making covenants? I'm not talking about the Bible. I'm talking about now. In the most tribes, they take a cup of wine. A cup of what? Wine. And then they make a cut. Cut. Someone say cut.
Cut.
Now, the word covenant in Hebrew means cut. In Hebrew, it means what? Cut. It's not agreement, but it's a cut. So they make a cut on your flesh until blood starts what? Coming out. So they take the cup of wine, you receive that blood from wherever they cut. And then they cut the person that you are entering a covenant into with. They cut that person too.
Yes.
And also they take the same cup and receive some of the blood from that person. So now in the cup of wine, you've got two bloods. And then they measure the stair to mingle it nicely. And then they take that one cup, they give this person to drink, the one with a cut. And then after they have drunk half, the half is given to the other person to drink too. So both of them, they drink from that one cup of wine. After they have drunk, they've drunk each other's life. After drinking each other's life, it means now they've become one life.
Yes.
You are not even here.
Oh, yes.
They've become what?
One.
One life. Now, the power of that is not because you have become one life. They are called bloody brothers or bloody sisters. Now, what it means is what I have from then on belongs to you. And what you have from then on belongs to me. I can take it and use it. You want to say no. And you can take what belongs to me. You can use it and I will not say no. Why? Because you and me now are brothers. Not only brothers, but what? Bloody brothers. That's why the world today has gone mad, has gone crazy. Why? Because they don't understand that marriage is not a signature. Marriage is a covenant.
Yes.
It's not a signature. It doesn't matter how big your signature is going to be on the certificate. Nonsense. Marriage is a covenant. That's why I told you that there's no way a man can marry a man.
Amen.
There's no way a woman can marry a woman. A man can marry a man, but not marry. Okay, forget it.
Oh, yes, amen.
A woman can marry a woman, but not marry. I wonder why they're trying to force this thing on marriage. Why can't they create a barrage?
Yes.
Or garage or something. They just have to come with something. As long as it's not a marriage.
Amen.
Because marriage is the covenant. You need instruments for making the covenant. It's a cut. Gosh. I wish I was not alive. I wish I didn't have too many small ears.
Oh, yes.
I would have gone one level deep until you go, oh. This is serious, so. It's serious. I'm telling you, it's serious business. Covenant is a what? Cut. When you understand it, that it's a cut, then you know that it's impossible for a woman to marry a woman.
Yes, amen.
It's impossible for a man to marry a man. You can sign contracts that we're going to stay in the same house, sleep in the same bed, eat from the same plate, drink from the same cup. You can go ahead and sign, go to the same toilet. You can keep writing anything that you want to agree on that agreement. But marriage will never take place.
Amen.
By the way, congratulations to Penny Wong. She just got married to another woman.
Oh, dear me.
In a secret wedding.
Oh.
She just got buried to another. Not married, but buried to another woman. Because they'll never be married.
Amen.
They have agreed to stay together. But that's for a different story. For another day. Are you hearing me?
Oh, yes.
So Jesus says, well, this is the blood. The blood of the covenant. So there's a new agreement, a new covenant, a new cut that came into effect. By who? By Christ. I want you to understand that the covenant is not between you and God. The covenant is between Jesus and God.
Yes.
Because you never presented your blood to God. You never cut yourself anywhere. It's Jesus who shed his blood.
Oh, yes.
And he took his blood and presented it to the Father in the Hall of Holies. Are you hearing me? He brought it on the altar in heaven. So Jesus is the one who entered into a covenant with God using his blood.
Oh, yes.
But then he said, what did he say in the book of John chapter 6? Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. He didn't mean the animal life that people had when they fell. No, he meant the Zoe kind of life, the divine life of Christ. He says, unless you drink my blood, you can't have eternal life in you. Why? Because Jesus is the eternal life. His blood didn't come from Mary. His blood didn't come from Joseph. His blood was divine blood. It came from heaven. It has been proven over and over scientifically. The blood of the baby never mingles with the mother. Oh, come on, talk to me. I'm not a mother. And I'll never be one. You can cut me anywhere you want, but I'll never be a mother.
Amen.
Okay, forget it. But now, the world has gone mad. I saw a certain guy with a beard. Sat on his stool, they are taking photos. So a man is pregnant. Forget it. All right. The blood of the child never comes from the mother. Because that thing called umbilical cord does not allow blood to move from this one to there. Only food is allowed to cross there. Only nutrition. So the blood of the child comes from the sperm.
Yes.
That's fertilized. Are you hearing me? The egg. Now, the sperm that fertilized the egg of Mary to produce Christ, that sperm didn't come from a human being.
Amen.
It was a divine sperm that came from the overshadowing of the Holy Ghost. So it infused into that ovum divine blood that had a divine origin, because the sin is in the blood.
I don't know what they're hearing.
Oh, yes.
The sin is in the what? In the blood. So Jesus could not have human blood in him. Because if Jesus only had human blood in him, it was contaminated blood. He couldn't have used it to offer his blood before the Father. It would have been sinful blood, blood that is contaminated by sin. So his blood had to come from an external source, a divine origin. Are you hearing me? That's why the blood of Jesus is the most dangerous thing that the devil could ever tamper with. It was blood which was sinless. It came from an external source. It wasn't a human blood. Are you hearing me?
Oh, yes.
Someone say yes.
Yes.
The blood of Jesus was the most dangerous thing. It didn't have human origin. There was no print of sin on it. Are you hearing me?
Oh, yes.
That's why we sing about the blood today. It didn't have human origin. Now you wonder why God used a woman but didn't allow a man to be involved. He knew the woman who provided the body without contaminating the blood.
Yes, amen.
Are you hearing me? He knew the body would be provided, but blood, it's a big deal.
Wow.
It came from a divine source. So Jesus says, "What? Well, this is the blood of the new covenant." He says, take it. Drink. So back to the primitive people, the tribes back there in the jungles, what do? They take that cup and say, drink. And then the person drinks half. And then the other guy finishes. From then on, they've become one. They call each other bloody brothers.
Yes.
Are you hearing me? What belongs to you belongs to me. What belongs to me belongs to you. You can have access to anything you want anytime. Because we've become blood brothers. Even if there were hostilities between the two of us, the moment we cut the covenant, every hostility comes to an end.
Oh, yes.
Even if we're not seeing eye to eye, the moment we cut the covenant, that enmity comes to an end.
Yes.
But they used to take it one level higher. After they've done the drinking, they would now cross their cuts like this. If you cut me on this hand, you cut the other person on that hand, you put together the two arms like that. Why? Their blood should directly mingle.
Yes.
From one to another. It made them one. And in the Bible, it's there, somewhere there. Somewhere there. Joshua made a blunder. There's a tribe that came to trick them. They came with the old bread, old shoes, old clothes. They said, we've come from very far. We've been traveling for so long. We are tired. Thank God we made it. We want to enter into a covenant with you, Joshua. And the Bible says Joshua didn't consult God. He entered into a covenant with these people. He entered into a covenant. How did they enter? The Bible does not tell how they entered into it, but it was a blood covenant. Because from then on, they became one people. And the Bible says when the enemy attacked that tribe, they sent a message to Joshua. We are under attack. Can you come quickly? The Bible says Joshua and the children of Israel, they left their camp and went to fight the enemies of this tribe. And they won the battle.
Wow.
Don't know if they're hearing me.
Oh, yes.
They won the battle. And King Saul made a blunder and killed people from that tribe. God became angry. These are heathens, but they had entered into a blood covenant with Joshua.
Yes.
These were heathens. I don't know if they're hearing me.
Wow.
These were heathens. King Saul killed some of them. And the Bible says there was drought in Israel. No rain. Famine. poverty. Until David and the children of Israel, they went to inquire of the Lord, what did we do wrong? God said, no, listen. Joshua had entered into a covenant with these people. Saul has killed them. David says, so what do we do? They said, go get them. Go get the people from, get bloody brothers from Saul. People who came from his lineage. We need to kill some of them. So they went, got relatives of Saul and killed them.
Wow.
And after he killed them, the drought ended. Rain came. So God honors the blood covenants.
Oh, yes.
You're not hearing me.
Oh, yes.
God honors what? Blood covenants. That's why when you come to the New Testament, Jesus says, whenever you want to pray, use my name. So when you say, in the name of Jesus, I command you, demon, go. What are you saying? The power is not in the mentioning of the name. The power is in blood covenant.
Oh, yes.
Jesus entered into a covenant with the Father. Now, you are using the name of the one who entered into a covenant because you are a beneficiary of the covenant. I don't know if they're hearing me. So when you receive Christ into your life, you have received someone with a covenant with Jehovah God. What was the terms of the covenant? He said, whoever shall be associated with me, you shall forgive their sins. Even if your sins may be as red as scarlet, as big as Mount Kilimanjaro, as deep as the Pacific Ocean. The moment you accept Jesus into your life, God has no choice but to forgive your sins. Why? Because his blood wipes out every sin that was ever committed. Are you hearing me, somebody? It's a blood covenant. So when you take Holy Communion, my God, when you take Holy Communion, have an attitude that what you are doing there is dangerous. It gives you access to everything that Jesus has.
My God.
Everything, with the exception of none. Our problem is our faith hasn't risen up to the level it ought to be. Why? Because our revelation is lagging behind.
Yes.
But from today, when you take that Holy Communion, your understanding is different. I am drinking the blood of the Son of God, the sinless blood. His life is now in me. Are you hearing me, somebody? Say yes.
Yes.
You can drink that communion and begin to walk with the confidence that I am untouchable. There's no power in hell. There's no demon, no sickness, no disease that can bring me down. Are you hearing me, somebody? Say yes.
Yes.
When you partake of the Holy Communion, God is under obligation to defend and fight for you. God is under obligation to come to your help. Are you hearing me, somebody? Say yes.
Yes.
They have no choice. They must honor the covenant. They have no choice. You see, faith must have a basis. Faith must have what? A basis. A reason why are you believing? Now from today, your faith has got something that you can stand on.
Oh,
you
yes.
can know that, wait a minute, Jesus entered into a covenant with the Father. And I am associated with that Jesus. I received him as my Lord and my Savior. I drink his blood. I eat his body. You see, when Jesus was instituted the Holy Communion, he didn't say this is a symbol. He didn't say this is a symbol. He said this is my body, which is broken for you. And this is my blood of the new covenant. He didn't say a symbol. It's the unbelieving, that unbelieving pastor who told you it was a symbol. Jesus didn't use those words. Their little heads going to get around it. This is wine. How can it be? Nonsensical thinking. Jesus said, this is my blood.
Oh, yes.
He said it. Huh? For this is what? My blood. Of the new? Which is what? which ratifies the agreement and is being poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Are you hearing me? The whole reason why God could forgive your sins is because sinless blood was offered on your behalf. So it was as if in your blood there's no sin whatsoever.
Wow.
That's why the blood of animals could not... Can I go one level deeper?
Go deeper, Papa.
Someone say, I owe you.
I owe you.
How do you write that? I owe you. What is I owe you? I owe you is a small piece of paper. If I take a small loan from you, a small money from you, I'll give you I owe you $20. So you keep that paper with you. You know that I owe you how much? $20. We call them I owe you. We used to do that when we were working. Between government, between departments, whatever you write, I owe you. With the accounts. Department, you say, can you give me 15,000? They give 15,000, they will sign I owe you. So you start giving them receipts, small until 15,000 is enough. So the people in the Old Testament, when they brought the animal blood as a sacrifice, they were giving God, I owe you.
Yes, amen.
So God was forgiving them not on the basis of the animal blood. On the basis of the Christ who was yet to come.
Yes, amen.
So the animal blood was just an I owe you. Until Jesus came.
Amen.
When Jesus came, he offered his blood. It wasn't only for the sins of the people in his day. It was for the sins of everybody from Adam. And not only so, it was also for the sins of every human being who was going to be born in the future. That's why Jesus doesn't need to come and die again for our sins today.
Yes.
He already did it for all the sins of those in the future and all the sins of those in the past. So them, they were giving God, I owe you. Now, us, we don't give God, I owe you. No. It's God who gave us, I owe you. He owes us forgiveness. You're not hearing me. He owes us what? Why? Because the blood, the price for your sin was already paid for in advance. So don't come from here to go and sin again. Gotcha.
Amen.
Gotcha. Like, if my sins are already paid for in advance, then I can go and commit a few of them because they're already paid in advance. You are beyond sin. You are greater than sin.
Oh, yes.
How can we live there in us who are already born again? Our life is the life of Christ. We've got divine life in us. Are you hearing me? We can't continue living in sin. Because sin is a substandard of existence.
Oh, yes.
We are caught away from the mountaintop. You have come to Mount Zion.
Oh, yes.
The city of the living God. A great assembly. Are you hearing me? This is the assembly of just men made perfect. New Jerusalem. Mount Zion. Someone said the blood covenant.
The blood covenant.
This is the biggest thing that was given to you.
Oh, yes.
And we do that every first week of the month. But this week, you're going to start from Wednesday. Every night, I want you to do it. Every night, I want you to do it. Every night, I want to do it. Until Wednesday next week.
Oh, yes.
We're going to do it for 8 days.
Amen.
Every single night, take communion before you sleep. Just take, I'm drinking the life of Christ in me. I'm drinking the life of Christ in me. I'm drinking the life of, that's why Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye. In other words, this power is not only for me, Christ. As long as you are part of me, it's also for you.
Oh, yes.
He says, in my name you shall cast out devils. When the demons hear you mention Jesus, the bloody man, we know him. That bloody man, we know him. That's why the demons who beat up the spiritual sons of Sceva, they said, wait a minute, sir. Come out in the name of Jesus, which Apostle Paul is preaching. Come out. come out. They say, wait a minute. Let's go in our database. Your spiritual father, Sceva, doesn't have any agreement, any blood covenant with this man called Christ. Now you, his spiritual sons, who are you? Now we are the sons of Sceva. Who is, you say, Sis what? Sceva. Who is Sceva? Oh, Sceva is the high priest. Oh, sorry. He doesn't have a blood covenant with the man who conquered us. So I want you to make a line. Quickly.
Oh, yes.
So they made a line. Oh, I've not got there.
He finished them, Baba.
Each time I read that story, I'm telling you, I pause, I see visions. I pause. What was the last one doing on the line? Waiting for his turn. You've already seen what was done to the first one. Beaten, clothes taken off, out naked. You are still on the line waiting for your turn. That was stupid. Me, I would be looking for the nearest exit. Where's the nearest exit here? We have given up casting demons. It's now my life. I need to get out of here before I'm delivered of my clothes. Say the blood covenant.
The blood covenant.
When you understand the secret behind the blood covenant, your confidence goes up. You pray with boldness. You face your situation with boldness.
Oh, yes.
I'm a man in a blood covenant.
Wow.
Are you hearing me?
Oh, yes.
That's why today we're going to take Holy Communion. We're going to partake Holy Communion. The covenant was not for the benefit of Christ. It was for our benefit. It is in the best interest of the weaker to enter into a blood covenant with the greater.
Oh, yes.
Why? Because then the greater and the greatness becomes yours. You have access to it.
Amen.
That's why the Father has no choice. The moment you appear, he has no choice but to love you the way he loves Christ.
Wow.
Not for your sake, but for Christ's sake.
Yes.
He has no choice but to forgive you for Christ's sake.
Wow.
Someone say, for the sake of Christ.
For the sake of Christ.
Rise on your feet. We're going to make a prayer. Say, oh Lord.
Oh Lord.
Today.
Today.
I activate. Every benefit.
Every benefit.
In the covenant of the blood of Christ.
In the covenant of the blood of Christ.
Say, today.
Today.
Be activated.
Be activated.
In my life.
In my life.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
I begin to walk. In the reality.
In the reality.
In the experience.
In the experience.
Of the benefits.
Of the benefits.
In this new covenant.
In this new covenant.
In the blood of Christ.
In the blood of Christ.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Be activated.
Be activated.
Now.
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 Now,
come on, fire your prayer.
Thank you for listening. To keep in touch with our ministry, visit our website at www.streams.org.au and follow us on all social media platforms at streams.international. It is a blessing to share with you all our prophetic revelation teachings, and it's our prayer to see you transform into mature sons of God. Share this podcast with your friends and family. Be blessed. And until next time, Shalom.